Bill Lawrence, 1 minute ahead of schedule.
Let's get you.
By a storm here.
I know. I just saw the sky opened up. You brought this with you.
I brought the rain with me.
It was sunny up until you got here.
I want to clear the streets of Catskill because there's too many people around there right now.
How are you, Mr. Lawrence?
Oh, wet and tired right now.
Oh, I can imagine.
Glad to be here, of course.
Well, you're a man true to your word. So let's. You know, first thing I want to ask you is, how do you feel about having a local radio station, a community radio station here?
Well, I'm glad to see WGXC come on the air because we have need for communication between people or great ways of expressing our talents, and I think the radio is the best way to do it. I love the radio because I look so good on it. And if it weren't for radio, I'd have to be showing up in real person, real life, and it would be bad. But we used to have a very good radio station over in Hudson, Columbia County, WCKL, remember?
WCKL, and, that's right.
They did investigative reporting. They did all kinds of music. Then they went regional, and we lost that flavor. So WGXC, I think, is going to replace them. And I'm glad to see it local here in Green, in my hometown, which is nice. So I'm glad to welcome them aboard.
Great. And speaking of Green, you're very involved in a project that's kind of taken off here, and it's big. So why don't you explain what that program?
The Think Big program.
Yes.
Actually, not my idea. It was the idea of our chairman, Mr. Wayne Spienberg, who wanted to promote Green County, which is what I think this radio station does too. It sort of promotes the talents and expertise of people you might not normally run into. But in Green County, we have a desire to have people shop locally. And we call it Think Big, B-I-G, Buy in Green. And if they purchase their stuff, groceries, cars, clothing, all kinds of accessories in Green County, that keeps the businesses in Green County more active, keeps people working, keeps Green County sales tax in a stable level, which of course allows us to keep our budget stable, so we have to raise taxes, and so that we can keep programs that are very vital to the people of Green County.
And I know I've seen you and Harry Leonard at a couple of events that we've held down at the park where you've been giving out some wonderful little promo products to kind of promote the program. How's it going with the, I know the website is amazing. There's a lot of businesses on board.
Which is done by a group in Greenville, Kath O'Gray, which I think the radio station
is. Yeah, Catherine is on our board, yes.
Right, they do an excellent job. They're very, very easy to deal with. They come up with things that make sense. And one of the initial phases of the Think Big was to give away shopping bags.
Yes.
Because we're trying to do two things, promote the concept and also to keep plastic off the streets, because plastic bags lead to the environmental problems we have with plastic in general. And so it sort of helps both ends of that spectrum. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, Harry and I were glad to promote it in our town, because I think Caro especially has a very active residential group. They like to participate in novel ideas.
Yes.
Such as you yourself here today. And I'm glad to see that the Think Big did take off pretty well. The sales tax has been a problem anyway, because people are just not shopping anymore. But hopefully days will get better. I know they will.
Yeah.
And then we can see a growth in that particular end of our budget, which will help us everywhere else.
Speaking of budgets,
nice
little segue. I was just what is the county legislature? What are you guys kind of facing right now? Anything that's coming up that's going to be monumental or is going to have some huge impact down the road here for us?
We have a double-edged sword, because we have a need to keep programs that the state requires according to state mandates. The federal government does that too, and we have to keep those programs online. And if the state can't pay for them, they make us pay for our share or more. So when they cut their budget, they're actually making the burden more onerous on us.
Mm-hmm.
The other end of it is that the expense side is going up. It costs more to hire people, costs more to run those programs. So you get the state cutting their funding, you got the programs costing more, so we're caught in the middle. And that becomes a very tough problem to solve.
Mm-hmm.
So you do it by cutting back those programs as much as you can, or other programs that we like, or you raise taxes. So you're stuck in the middle. Now, Green County has had a very good treasurer, Willis Vermillier. We've had a very good set of administrators. We had Doug Brewer, and now we have Dan Frank. And I think as a group, the legislators themselves have been very fiscally conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got our money available for emergency use, rainy weather, such as we have today. And I think that is going to serve us well in the future, where if things do get worse, and I hope they don't, mm-hmm. we have some sort of pockets of revenue available. And if it comes to the worst, we'll have to decide what programs to cut, which programs to keep. And again, we'll try to do it with the least amount of, you know, hardship to people who depend on those programs.
And you gentlemen have all been working together for a long time now.
Very long, yeah.
That specific core group, it seems that you guys have really been basically on the same page from the very beginning. It's just a matter of how to kind of manifest everything that you guys have been working on in that room over there of yours.
Right. And, you know, with politics, you do get this give and take. Here comes that storm now.
Wow, oh, there goes the storm.
I just came through that, drove through it. Yeah. But the in politics,
wow.
you've got a situation where people argue with each other.
Yes.
But in the end, you try to agree on a compromise, or you try to agree on a plan of action, which I think as a legislature we've done very well at.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't always agree. But yeah. we do decide that when something's done, we go with that program or we go with that concept until it's fulfilled its purpose.
Yeah.
And I always take the stand that it's not what I've done, it's what we've done as mm-hmm. a legislature when it comes to a particular item. Whether it's good or bad, it's all our mm-hmm. Problem, or it's all our credit or all our fault. So if
right.
they criticize me for something somebody else has done, I understand that because it makes sense to me. And if they give me credit for something we've done, that makes sense too.
Yep,
so
there you go.
Both ends of that are.
And you know, you and I call him your co-partner, your partner in crime, Harry Lennon,
yep.
kind of like, you know, it's like Lawrence and Lennon, Lennon and Lawrence. You guys have also been very supportive of a program that Kara has started, the Bears and Butterflies program. And I was wondering if you wanted to just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, Harry and I were very, very proud of what we call the Bears and Butterflies program in Carroll. We like any kind of initiative which is grassroots. And I've seen this done in the town of Freehold when they were trying to beautify their main street. A group of ordinary citizens got together, came up with a plan, came up with the funding, came up with the wherewithal to get that program done, and they did a very good job. In Cairo, I see the same thing with the Bears and Butterflies. A group of ordinary people, non-politicians, they're not elected officials, decided that they wanted to do something for the town, and in turn for the county, because they're going to make the entire county proud of them, to come up with a concept of lining Main Street with bears, just like Casco did with the cats.
Right.
And that stroke of genius that Casco had with that particular program was very evident as to how successful that is. And I think Carroll, in their own way, is trying to do their part to make Greene County a better place to live and a better place to visit. And I think this program is going to make big waves in the economic and in the resort industry, tourism industry.
And we all know that tourism is still very much alive and well, especially
Definitely.
In the Cairo area and through all of the hamlets over there as well. And, you know, it's kind of neat, too, that it all kind of ties in with the quadricentennial
right.
of Henry Hudson, because that really has kind of caused a buzz all up and down the Hudson River from as far as New York City all the way up as far as Buffalo. I mean, do you know of anything that's coming up that they're planning in terms of activities for that?
Well, I think for the town of Carroll, we started out, Harry and I declared through the legislature the month of May as Bears and Butterflies Month
yes.
in Carroll. But we did encourage all Greene County and all New York State residents to participate. And we started with a Bears and Butterflies Ball on May 2nd, which was very, very successful. It was a very nice program, nice food, good dancing. Too much drinking maybe, but at the same time we had a series of events that are going to take place now through the summer. We're going to have the Bears and Butterflies statuettes put up on Main Street and other parts of town in Memorial Day weekend. We're going to have a series of events throughout the months of July and August, and then they're going to end with an auction of the bears, just like Casco does with the cats,
mm-hmm.
and that money is going to be used for various charities and for promoting the program next year. And thank you to the Chamber. You're the Executive Director. I think you've been very instrumental in making sure this stays on track, worrying about the details, and making sure that things fit into place. I think it's all been a very, very cohesive effort on part of the Bears and Butterflies Committee, the Chamber of Commerce, and the town officials in Cairo. plus Harry and I at the legislature.
Yeah, no, and you guys, and just so everybody knows, I mean, Bill and Harry were actually the first ones to come on board and sponsor our first bear. So that really kind of kicked everything off. You know, they kind of, you know, everybody said, oh, gosh.
As good politicians, we know
good
a good idea when we see it.
Yeah, you knew,
so
you saw a good idea.
Right on board.
And you yeah, absolutely. But it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, I think that with the quadricentennial especially, again, I think it really does put an extra special slant on everything, you know, because the nice thing about the Bear Project is, you know, it's been a wonderful committee of women who have really, you know, endless hours of just
very
you
hard
know,
working.
Very, very hard working, and it's been an amazing project. And what's nice about it with the quadricentennial is they've tied in the interactive explorers map to make it
the
really
map.
The map, which is now I believe will be going out soon, and that's going to be fun because it's really become the whole thing has been a community effort. You saw at the butterfly ball, all the butterflies were done by the children, and the pottery was thrown by the art department, and kids made origami butterflies and all kinds of stuff.
And we had that the map idea is ingenious too, because we had an administrator years ago, Bill Hagan. I don't know if you knew Bill.
No, I don't remember.
He's passed away. God bless him. And he started a program with Rip Van Winkle, and they hid the stone, which is Rip Van Winkle's treasure. And people searched for that stone for years, and they finally found it. The family who found it, got this bowling pin, which was gold, you know, encrusted with jewels and stuff. And it was all part of this book that was made up by an author under the leadership of Bill Hagan and friends of his that got the idea started. So it was a slow motion sort of procedure, and ours is going to take place over the summertime. But the idea is still valid; it still works. People like to look for things. They like to be part of a hunt. They like to be part of this game, and I think that's a very ingenious way of getting people to come to Carroll.
Yeah. And especially with the bears, because there's going to be 42 of them, and they're going to be out all over the hamlets as well. And in order to finish the map, you've got to go see all the bears. So it gets people a chance to really get out and all over the place. So.
And you and I saw pictures of them at the ball, where they had them up on the screen, and they were very, very very, very nicely done. I wish I had artistic talent so that I could do something like that myself, but I'm always appreciative of people that can do it.
They are. Well, you missed your calling in life, and I told you that a long time ago. You should have been like an MC. Could hire you out as like a Richard Pryor, or because you always do a wonderful job. If you ever don't want to be a legislator anymore, we know what you can do.
I love when I was a teacher in high school, I tease my students. Sometimes I went too far, but they gave me a lot of training for adults because they're easier to tease than kids are. Kids are very smart. But I do like the MC portion. I like being in front of a microphone. That's why I appreciate this particular opportunity.
He's wearing a baseball cap, by the way, folks, and it looks very cute.
Yeah, I was going to say
and a tie. He dressed up the most.
Yes, he's got a tie on and everything. This is so cool.
Well, I've been to three events today. I had to go to...
Oh, okay.
We went to the opening of the substation for New Baltimore for our Sheriff's Department, which is another expanding agency doing a great job for Greene County. Went to Ray Beecher's Memorial up here in Cedar Grove, and that was very nicely done. And then I'm here now.
Oh, okay.
By personal invitation, so that was nice.
Oh, well, and we're thrilled to have you. Absolutely. Tom, is there anything you want to talk to Bill about?
I was wondering. I've been talking to some local merchants, and they've been saying that perhaps this summer the economic downturn won't be so bad up here because some of the people, you know, the tourism that we get is from people that have second homes and such, and that maybe they're not going to go on big vacations elsewhere and they're going to use their second homes more. Historically, has that been true in downturns?
Yes, it has been. As a matter of fact, our resort industry, which has been in Greene County, has been here a long time, had people come to the resort for the summer, stay, and then go home back to the city or wherever they came from. And their families did the same thing. They followed the same tradition. Then we got cheaper, you know, cruise rates. You got easy to fly to cities. And so vacations became more exotic. But now with the way the world is and the way the economy is, people are coming back to their roots, which is the Greene County, Caro, Catskill area, where they know they're safe, where they know they're going to get a good value for their buck, and where they know that people are going to respect their individual desires. And I think Greene County, and I've said this for a long time, is, you know, between Albany and between Ulster, we are the perfect spot to be because we have the particular mountain-valley relationship, the green and the urban. And we have a group of people dedicated to the profession. The resort industry in Greene County is very much alive, as M.A. said, and those people are still dedicated to service, which I think is the key to getting people to come back. And I think they will be, and I think you're correct.
What issues are coming up in front of the legislature in the next couple months?
Well, we've been trying to keep our handle on the budget. We've got the state taking away money from programs that we were used to getting money for. They had a number of crazy ideas about the budget. You've probably heard them. You know, they're going to take and cap our tax payments on state-owned land. At the same time, they're going to buy more state-owned land. So that was something that we fought, and I think the governor gave up on. But as far as the Greene County itself goes, we're just trying to improve the tourist end of our county, that the particular segment of our economy. We've combined now tourism and economic development, and you may have heard that Warren Hart, our economic developer and planning director, is now in charge of both tourism, economic planning, and economic development, planning, and tourism, and that Daniela Marino, who does a great job with tourism by itself, is still on the job. She's still doing a very wonderful job. But together, they're going to come up as a team to try to promote ideas that get people here to stay here and develop here. Mm-hmm. We've got an economic strategy, which, of course, now is working on 9W, and we're promoting that big time. We've got a number of new businesses coming in Coxsackie, New Baltimore, and the Athens area, and I think that's going to be beneficial to everybody in Greene County. The Mountaintop and the other towns, the IDA is looking at them to promote, you know, industrial parks, you know, green industrial parks, which are, you know, now going to be spewing out a lot of smoke and other particles. At the same time, getting these towns to come on board with the need to bring in industry that's light and helpful to people that need employment and for products that need to be sold. So I think Greene County is on the cusp of becoming a much bigger, active, and still decent place to live.
There's been some talk about high-speed rail. Is that a pipe dream, or is it closer to reality?
I think it's a pipe dream myself. I mean, it very much reminds me of the building that Walmart out there in Leeds that was so hyped up, and yet nothing ever happened because it just didn't fit what we needed. And I think high-speed rail is something that is certainly, you know, be nice to have, but I just don't see it coming down the pike in a long time because of money, because of the need to take over other people's property, and because of the fact that right now people aren't traveling much anywhere except you know, locally. So I think it's going to be a ways off before that happens. But all those advances are something that, luckily, in our lifetime, we've seen a lot of them, and maybe things will be different. Maybe we will see it.
Yeah. How about wind power on the? I mean, the mountains have a lot of wind blowing around.
Hey, listen, there's a lot of wind at my house. If I had the ability to put up a tower, a wind tower, I would do it. We have a lot of opposition to towers in general, and I think that's got to be dealt with first. People don't like that kind of stuff in their backyard. And I know the Carroll Durham School was looking at wind power, and a few others have been doing the same because it's a very easy source of energy, and it's also a good source of economic you know, prosperity for those that can generate a lot of it. You don't want to make it an eyesore where they're all over the place, but you do want to have a availability of doing it right, doing it to any place that can do it on a consistent basis. And I think there are many places in this county where that's a strong likelihood. So I think anything of that nature, we have to start moving ourselves towards that, whether it's you know, wind power or solar or whatever. I think we've been very resistant because we've had it so easy with the fuel oil being so plentiful, with the gasoline being so plentiful. Those days are changing, obviously, and I know the county's now looking at mass transit. We're doing a study on mass transit. I think we've got to get to the point where we can institute that because I see the gas prices going up now, and when they were low, people don't care about that stuff. But when they start getting higher, people start complaining about it, and I think we can work our way through that, towards that goal.
And there's a lot of different, you know, alternative sources of energy. In fact, Caro, just as a little plug, the Chamber of Commerce is going to be doing the first Eco Fair September 12th and 13th down at Angelo County Park, and we have a wonderful committee working to bring in all different vendors who are now going to be able to demonstrate alternative types of energy and all things on organic foods and things like that. So to kind of help people be a little bit more aware that there, you know, there's alternatives. America needs to be a little bit more independent when it comes to using our energy. And
if we want to maintain our standard of living, we've got to start moving towards that direction, because it's going to be tougher to get things that we want. It's going to be tougher to find something that doesn't pollute the air, pollute the water, whatever we're concerned about. So, yeah. I think everybody's got to start being educated again on the environment.
And it's time. You know, it's that whole thing about what goes around, comes around type of a thing. Everything comes in a cycle, and it's time again for us to revisit all of that.
I agree.
Absolutely.
There's no harm in that discussion and using it as a point of discussion. And people can disagree as to how it's going to be done, but I think if they're part of the discussion, we move forward. So.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Tom, anything else you'd like to...
Thanks a lot for coming out.
Yeah,
Bill, thank you so much.
Glad to see you guys on the air and glad to see it so active. Glad to see MA and the C.
Yeah, this has been fun. It's been busy.
I guess you brought your water pistol with you, huh?
Now the rain has stopped.
The rain has stopped. Bill stopped talking. The rain has stopped. It's perfect timing. Yeah, it's been busy. You won't melt. Absolutely. You won't melt.
All right, congratulations.
All right, well, Bill, thank you so much. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for coming.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. Say hi to Harry.
I will do that.
Your partner in crime. Get home.